At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the dictionary.
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 It's the
dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. This is Spencer. This is the dictionary. What's going on? Let's talk about the words. This is episode F197. What? The best intro ever? Yeah. All right. I have to be somewhere, so let's see if I can get this done in my very specific amount of time that I have available. The first word in this episode is 14. F-O-U-R-T-E-E-N. Noun from before the 12th century. It says see the number table. Of course, go see the number table. 14 is an adjective. 14 is also a pronoun plural in construction. And this is from, you know, it's from the 4 and the 10 and the 4s and the 10s, and you put them together and you got the 4 tens. Because it's 4 plus 10. Specifically, Old English, fjaurteen, which is fjaur plus fien, which is akin to teen, which is 10. Is that a T or an F? Fjaurteen? Yeah, they make it look like an F. It's very similar, but no, that's definitely a T. Yeah, 410, that's it. I was 14. 30 years ago, I was 14. And let's see, I think I turned 14 at the beginning of my freshman year of high school. Anything to say about that? That's a strange time of your life. Junior high is tough for everybody. And then you get into a big high school with everybody's older than you. I had been growing my hair out. And I think one of the very first days, I went to go find the bathroom. This was literally, must have been in like the first week. And I didn't know where it was. It was this giant friggin' school. And I had, you know, kind of shaggy, poofy hair. And went to one of the security guards to say, hey, where's the bathroom? And they said, men's or women's? And I was like, oh, man, come on. The men's bathroom. But yeah, I was feminine looking, I guess. The hair did not help. No facial hair, very baby face or whatever. I don't know. That's what happened when I was 14, probably. I mean, geez, it could have been on my birthday. It was, anyway. Let's make a sound effect, which is going to be do 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 do. Now we have 14er. Oh, no, wait. I missed one thing. 14th with a TH is an adjective or a noun. And now we go on to 14er. This feels old. Noun from 1884. Number one, a verse consisting of 14 syllables or especially of 7 iambic feet. And what is there? Are there 2 syllables per iambic foot? And that's how you get the 14? I'm not so sure. I don't know about the poetry. But 14 syllables. So it's one verse that has 14 syllables. And can you please make up a 14er? Please go ahead right now. Write one verse of a 14er. This verse has 14 syllables, and it's really great. Yay. There we go. Number two, a mountain that is at least 14,000 feet high. That's a 14er. I mean, do we have 13er and 15er for mountain climbing stuff? How many mountains are at least 14,000 feet high? How many 14ers are there? Do 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 do. Next is fourth. Noun from before the 12th century. Number one, go see the number table. Number 2A, a musical interval embracing four tones of the diatonic scale. For embracing four tones, that is an interesting way to word a musical interval. A musical interval embracing four tones. I would think four tones, it's embracing it. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. Do, 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 do. But no, it's the first one and the fourth one. So one would be ba, ba. And then the fourth one would be I have to work my way up. Ba, 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 ba. I don't even know my notes. Ba, ba. No, that's an octave. Shit. Can he go back to the note that he said? Ba, ba, ba. There's a, isn't it like the devil's interval or something? I feel like I remember hearing that. Because they were like, ooh, this is not a good, the devil's interval. Let's look that up because I'm pretty sure I've heard of that before. I think the song in West Side Story, Maria, the devil's interval, also known as the tritone, is a musical interval between two notes that are six semitones or three whole notes apart. Well, that wouldn't be a fourth because, no, it's one half step higher than a fourth. Okay, so it's an augmented fourth or a diminished fifth if you want to be real specific. And it has a reputation for being dissonant and unsettling, referring it to the devil's interval nickname. Yeah, okay, very good. Now, but the note starts, Maria, is that the devil's interval? Or is that a fourth? I don't know. I'm trying to figure this stuff out off the top of my head. But a fourth is used often in music, like especially in blues. You know, you start off on the one, doom da doom da doom 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 doom, and then you go to the fourth, do 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 da do da do do ba do do boo ba do ba do 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 da do da do do. That's the easiest way for me to figure out a fourth. And then in the blues, it goes to the fifth briefly, and then back to the fourth briefly, and then back to the one. And we all feel very sad because it's the blues. Okay, number 2B. A tone at this interval, specifically the first definition for the word subdominant. And I don't know enough about music theory to tell you anything about subdominant. No clue. 2C. The harmonic combination of two tones, a fourth apart. So when you play them together, you are playing a fourth, and those two tones make a fourth chord, a two-note chord. Number 3, the fourth forward gear or speed of a motor vehicle. Fourth gear, we're getting into fourth gear. Our car's driving so fast because we're in fourth gear. We're probably on a highway or driving too fast on a regular street. We're in fourth gear. Number 4, it's capitalized. The synonym is Independence Day in the America. The United States of America. The fourth with a capital F. It says it's used with the word the fourth. You know, you can't help but have this be a big holiday when you're living in America. But specifically for us and my family, well, you know what? Let's hold on to that for a second. Let's say fourth is an adjective or an adverb, and fourthly is an adverb. I don't know how you do something fourthly. Maybe it's related to music. He played that music fourthly when he was driving in fourth gear playing a fourth interval harmonic note scale. Okay. Next is fourth dimension. Two words, noun, from 1875. Number one, a dimension in addition to length, breadth, and depth. Specifically, a coordinate in addition to three rectangular coordinates, especially when interpreted as the time coordinate in a space-time continuum. we do not have the ability, really, to physically plot a fourth dimension chart. We can draw something in three dimensions, and if the position of the X, Y, and Z, the length, breadth, and depth are 1, 1, 1, we can draw that out in three dimensions. How do you draw a fourth dimension chart or image? It's time. So it has to literally change over time? I can't comprehend it. I'm not that smart. I don't know. It's time. That's what it is. We're going in time. I wish I could live outside of the fourth dimension so I could see it and control it. And that's it. Number two, something outside the range of ordinary experience. If it's outside of our ordinary experience, we call it the fourth dimension. There are things like, at the movie theaters, they have like the 4D or 4DX experience thing. They're throwing 4D, fourth dimension, on various terms. It's all marketing bullcrap because they're just trying to use it as a fancy sounding thing. You get to watch this movie in four dimensions. Well, yeah, you already are. But not really, because the movie's not in three dimensions, but you are watching it in the fourth dimension, which is time. So you just sort of skipped over the third dimension, unless it's made in 3D, and then you can put the glasses on, and then you're watching a sort of 3D movie. But it's all just using 4D as just this silly marketing stuff. Like, I saw HD was also a very common marketing ploy. Like, look at these HD sunglasses. The glasses are in high definition. They're not making things look better. So this is my little soapbox problem with using the fourth dimension to describe something when you're just trying to sell more stuff, because it sounds so cool. But what's outside of our range of ordinary experience? We started watching The Twilight Zone with my family last night. We watched the first two episodes, and I believe they specifically mentioned the fifth dimension in the intro, but the fourth dimension feels still so outside of our normal experiences, even though we are living in the fourth dimension, that it still sort of fits, and so that's why my sound effect is a little bit of the Twilight Zone theme. Fourth dimensional with a hyphen is an adjective. And now we're going to go to do-do-do-do-do-do-boo-boo. Fourth estate, two words, noun. The F and the E are often capitalized. It's from 1837, and it means the public press. Why is the public press the fourth estate? I don't know. I have a vague memory of hearing something about these estates, and there's other states. There's probably the first and second and third estates, and maybe there's a fifth and a sixth. I'm not sure. This is not my world. But the public press, the journalists, the people who are writing about what's going on in the world, are they the fourth estate? Sure. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Fourth of July. The F and the J are capitalized. This is from 1779. So there was no 4th of July before 1779, and then they signed the Declaration of Independence and did some other stuff, and then in 1779, not even 1776, then they started saying the 4th of July. The synonym is, of course, Independence Day. This was a big thing in my house because, I mean, you know, our little town had a parade, still does, down the street, and my parents were part of a group that would march in the parade for many, many years since before I was born. But they were always a little snarky. They were satirical. They were making fun of things, especially political things. And not everybody in the town enjoyed that, but some people enjoyed it very much. And I would actually really love to make a documentary about this group, because some interesting people, and of course their political satirism just really speaks to me and speaks to a lot of people I know. So, you know, I quite enjoyed their ridiculousness. And I was, you know, roped in when I was a very tiny little person. And then as I got older, the adults got older and they didn't want to do it so much anymore. But we did bring it back a couple of times. I feel like my sleeves are, they're not the same length. There we go. That's better. And so, yeah, when I was older, we did some fun stuff. And yeah, they were called the Fabulous All-America Marching Drum and Bugle Corps. Usually they say corps, but they decided, no, we're going to call it a corps. All right, moving on to fourth wall. Two words, noun from 1807. An imaginary wall. Oh, look at this imaginary wall. It is an imaginary wall that keeps performers from recognizing or directly addressing their audience. And the wall might be at the opening of a modern stage proscenium. So the stage is built of three walls, pretty much, and then there's that imaginary fourth wall between the people on the stage and the people watching. And, you know, most of the time you want that wall to be there. But every once in a while, I enjoy a little bit of a good, fourth wall break. Deadpool, the comic book character turned movie star, Deadpool, he is very good at breaking the fourth wall. I never read the comics, but I'm very curious. And I just sometimes really, really enjoy that stuff. And, you know, there's no fourth wall between us. I'm very much directly speaking to you. I'm not putting on a performance and pretending like you're not there. No, you are here. So we have no fourth wall in this situation. This is an anti-fourth wall area. Okay, very good. Sometimes you need it. You sure do. Because you then if you get distracted, if you start realizing that there's people there, and then you're like, oh boy, what happened to that fourth wall? I thought I saw one. Okay, moving on. Two. Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop. Fourth world. Noun, the F and the W are often capitalized. This is from 1974, and it is a group of nations, especially in Africa and Asia, characterized by extremely low per capita income and an absence of valuable natural resources. And I feel like, now I'm trying to remember where it was. There's the term third world, which we are not really using anymore. We're using developing world. And that was in the dictionary, but the T doesn't make sense. So I don't know where I came across that because I remember talking about it. But this one also, fourth world, you don't even really hear people mention the fourth world because it's, I think, so rare. But this is another one that I think if we're not using third world, we're not using fourth world. So, you know, it's developing, it's maybe the fourth world countries aren't even developing because they have so little money and no natural resources, people don't care about those people there. But maybe we can get them to have a pretty decent life too. I don't know how, and I don't know what the term is for fourth world now. What's the new term? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Four-way is next. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from 1824. Number 1A. Allowing or affecting passage in any of four directions. You can go in any one of the four directions. Well, can I go that way? Nope, that is not one of the four directions. You can go that way, or that way, but I want to go that way. You cannot go that way. There is a building in that way, and you can't walk through the building, and you can't climb over it or jump over it, so you may not go that way. Thank you very much. Okay, then I shall stand here and not go any direction. Number 1B, applicable to traffic from each of four directions, as in a four-way stop. Sometimes people don't know what to do at a four-way stop. If there's just stop signs, if people don't understand the right-of-way, and I get very, very frustrated at those people. Luckily, it's not too often that four cars pull up to a four-way stop at the exact same moment. Like your driving instructor said, you will come across. No, no, no. That usually doesn't happen. But honestly, what would you do? Somebody's just got to take the initiative and start going. I think that's what you got to do. Number two, including four participants. Well, we talked a lot about golf recently. You can have a four-way golf game because there's four participants playing in that game. I don't think I've ever had a four-way episode on this podcast. I think the most I've had is three people, including myself. Yeah, I can't think of... I take that back. I did. Steve Goody was the original guest, and then two more people joined. Jason Kendra. Yeah, so we did have a four-way episode. Oh, it was so fun having a four-way episode. You know, anything that includes four participants, four willing participants is a four-way thing. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Now we have 4WD. It's the numeral 4 with capital W and D. It's an abbreviation for four-wheel drive, which we're going to talk about. Da-da-da-do-do-dee-da-da. Four-wheel, two words with a hyphen, or four-wheeled with an ED. It's an adjective from 1740. Number one, having four wheels. Oh, look at that thing. That's got four wheels. It's a four-wheel. It's four-wheeled. Number two, acting on or by means of four wheels of an automotive vehicle, as in four-wheel disc brakes. It's disc brakes on all four wheels. You got four-wheel those things. Yep. I got nothing for four wheels. I mean, there's four-wheel... Well, I guess that's coming up. Yeah, let's talk about that in a minute. First, we got four-wheel drive. The four and the wheel are still hyphenated. Noun from 1926. An automotive drive mechanism that acts on all four wheels of the vehicle. Also, a vehicle equipped with such a drive. Wow, you've got such a drive. You've got that four-wheel drive. It's a mechanism that makes all four wheels go. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Next is four-wheeler. Two words with a hyphen. Noun from 1846. A vehicle with four wheels. There are so many four-wheelers out there, but there's also 18-wheelers and some other ones. Some 10-wheelers, some 6-wheelers. Typically, I think if people are talking about four-wheelers, they are talking about those, like, gators, go-kart kind of things, something that maybe you're going to have on your farm or your natural land or something. You got to take the four-wheeler out to go take some hay to goats. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We now have no more four words. We now have fovea, F-O-V-E-A, noun from 1849. Number one, a small fossa, and a fossa, it's right over here on this other page. It is an anatomical pit, groove, or depression. And so a small one is a fovea. Number two, a small rodless area of the retina that affords acute vision. And it says to see the eye illustration. Should I go back and look at the eye illustration? Let's see. E-Y-E, that's how you spell eye. But it's got no rods. This part of the eye called the fovea has no rods. And I wonder if it's a little bit of a pit or a depression, a groove. Let's look at this. Let's find number three is the fovea. And, it does actually look like there's possibly a little bit of a dip there. It looks like it's kind of on the inner lining of the inside of the eye. And, I think it's that little piece there. Now, a small rodless area of the retina, which I guess, is that on the back of the eye? Let's look up fovea. We gotta see what this looks like. Well, specifically, that's gonna be the next word, which is fovea centralis. But maybe we can get a little bit more information before that. Oh, is this basically the blind spot? I don't know. It's pointing to a little dark spot on the back of the eye. And yeah, it looks like it's a little bit of a depression. It's a thing. So that's why we got fossa, and then a small one is a fovea. And then when they were studying the eye back many, many tens of years ago, they were like, well, it's a little bit of a depression. So we're going to call it a fovea. That's probably it. Foveal is an adjective, and foveate, or foveate, that is an adjective. So this word, it's a Latin word, and it means pit. That's it, just like a little, just a pit. Put them in the pit of despair, the fovea of despair, where they'll have depression in the pit. Fovea. Okay, well, relatedly, we got to go to do 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 do. It's our last word. It's fovea centralis. That's the second word. C-E-N-T-R-A-L-I-S. Noun from 1858. The synonym is the number two definition for the word fovea, which was the rodless area in the retina that affords acute vision. It gives us sharp vision? Is that what it does? Nobody knows. We're still trying to figure it out. Yeah, it's a new Latin. It means central fovea. So are there more than one fovea in the eye? And that's the central one? I'm not sure. But it looks like it's officially called the fovea centralis. Okay, so I'm going to end it there. We're going to put that word into the next episode because it makes sense. Yep, yep, yep. Ooh, we're going to have a lot of fox words. Okay, here we go. So now we must pick a word of the episode. We had, just to give you a little bit of a reminder, we had 14, 14er, fourth, fourth dimension, fourth estate, 4th of July, fourth wall, fourth world, four-way, 4WD, four-wheel, four-wheel drive, four-wheeler, fovea, and fovea centralis. There were some that I quite enjoyed here in this episode, but I think I shall pick fourth wall as the word of the episode. And how will Spencer sing a song about the fourth wall? There's a fourth wall over there. It's blocking my view from the audience. But wait, let me take down the fourth wall. I've already done it. That's it. Okay, now, let's just confirm. Let's talk about a movie. And let's make sure that we know what movie we are talking about. Okay, here we go. We did it. We did it. We watched Friendship. We did not watch the next Final Destination movie. Nope, the last one in the current franchise. In fact, that's what I have to go to after this. We're going to go watch that today. But before we watch that, after the first five Final Destination movies, we watched Friendship, which is the funny but kind of creepy movie with Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd, and we very much enjoyed it because it's so weird. Sharon did not know what to expect, and so it was a little bit different, I think, than what she thought it might be, but she still enjoyed it, and it's very silly and funny and awkward. Oh, awkward. And if you don't know who Tim Robinson is, you might be a little confused at the humor. So you might want to watch some of his stuff first, I guess. I don't know. Or just understand that he is him, and that is he. And he's great and ridiculous and weird and funny, and we love him. Okay, that's it for this episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information from only his brain, and that's it. Goodbye.